This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Just this afternoon, President Donald Trump seemed to abruptly reverse course, saying that he will sign an executive order ending family separations on the southern border.
We're going to be signing an executive order. We're going to also count on Congress, obviously, but we are signing an executive order in a little while. We're going to keep families together, but we still have to maintain toughness or our country will be overrun.
The Washington Post, the New York Times, and other media outlets are reporting that the order would keep families together while awaiting prosecution for illegal border crossings. But there's a great degree of uncertainty about the specific language in the executive order and whether or not it would stand up to legal scrutiny. So let's go to Sahil Kapoor. He's national politics reporter for Bloomberg News. Sahil, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I was looking at what the president said this afternoon. He said he was going to sign this executive order before heading off to a rally in Minnesota. His public schedule says he's supposed to be leaving for Minnesota basically now. So has there been any action around this executive order?
It's unclear when the president will be signing this executive order and what it will say. All we know is that he said it's going to keep families together. Now, the expectation of a number of advocates and lawmakers I've spoken to, again, this is just speculation, but it's that it's going to exempt the Flores settlement from the family detention processes. In other words, allow children to be housed in the same criminal detention facilities as their parents are, which the Trump administration wants to do as part of its zero-tolerance policy. Currently, there's a court ruling that protects the rights of children, so it forces them to decide whether to use discretion and not prosecute some of these border crossers criminally if they're coming as part of families, or whether to, separate the families from kids.
Right. So since as you rightly point out, we don't yet have the text of the executive order, so this is all speculation. But regarding that Flores agreement that you were talking about, I mean, this is the 1997 court settlement that caps the number of days that a child can remain in detention at 20 days. So presuming that the executive order is somehow trying to find a way around that, my guess is that it's likely to meet immediate legal challenge, is it not?
That's right. So there's a 20-day rule, and there's also language in the Flores settlement that says children need to be held in the least restrictive environment, which is obviously not the criminal detention centers that adults are prosecuted in. But absolutely, I've spoken to some immigration advocates and lawyers about this, and if in fact it does weaken, try to weaken the 20-day rule or weaken the rights of children as far as detention is concerned, then it will face legal challenges, and it'll create yet another predicament for this administration. Does it back off and decide not to criminally prosecute these families, or does it have to go back to separating them if it doesn't find a workaround and if Congress doesn't do anything, which at this point it doesn't look like the immigration solutions that House Republicans have proposed are going to pass?
Okay, I'm going to get to that in just a second here, but let's just take a step back for a moment and be clear about something. The president does not necessarily have to sign an executive order of any kind to change the policy of separating children and parents at the border at the moment, right?
That is correct. This is a discretionary policy by the Trump administration that the Obama administration did not do, that the Bush administration did not do, that says zero tolerance for anybody crossing the border through either illegally trying to sneak in or through an unofficial port of entry, even if they are upcoming with a legitimate claim of asylum. Zero tolerance. The adults are sent away to criminal prosecution. The kids are taken away to government custody. This is a Trump administration policy that they do not have to do. There is a workaround. In other words, they can use their discretion and say, we're not going to prosecute, for instance, a mother in her 30s with a toddler coming across the border trying to seek asylum who does not know where the official port of entry is and enters unofficially. They can say they're not going to criminally prosecute them and put them through the civil system. Now, in some cases, that would mean a policy that the administration has called catch and release, which it strongly opposes. In other words, let these people who basically be free in the country as their asylum ruling is pending, rather than keep them in detention.
Right. So, but as to that zero tolerance policy, the actual policy that got us to this place of family separation, from what I'm hearing you say and the reports we're seeing at this moment, there's nothing in this executive order that would end the zero tolerance policy.
As far as we know, well, let me just say, I don't want to get ahead of this. The administration changes can change its position on a dime. I think there's very little certainty as to what's going to happen, so I really don't know.
Oh,
but
right.
Yes, the expectation is that they're not going to they're not necessarily going to stop criminally prosecuting families that come across, but that they're going to find a workaround so they don't have to separate the children while the adults are being prosecuted.
Right. And fair point. I mean, you and I are having this conversation at literally the time where all this news is unfolding around us. So fair point. Let's not speculate anymore. So let's talk about what you mentioned going on in Congress, because the president's remarks today came just after House Speaker Paul Ryan vowed to bring immigration legislation to a vote on Thursday. Let's listen to that.
Tomorrow, the House will vote on legislation to keep families together. Under this bill, when people are being prosecuted for illegally crossing the border, families will remain together under DHS custody throughout the length of their legal proceedings. Additional funding is also going to be made available so that DHS has sufficient resources to house and care for families during this entire process.
Now, Sahil, how does this differ from what may be in the president's executive order?
Well, this would be Congress changing the law, so it would be more legally foolproof if this were to pass. And what it would do is it would essentially rescind the 20-day rule for holding children in detention facilities. It would clarify the Flores settlement so that families crossing the border together illegally can be held together, and it would authorize, I believe, $7 billion for family detention centers as well as border security. Mm. So this, the categorical difference there is that it would be immune from legal challenges because Congress undoubtedly has the authority to change this law.
Right. Now, for exactly the reasons that you just laid out, the removal of the 20-day cap on detention of children and even the funding for family detention centers, that's some of the reasons why Democrats are saying this possibly could be a backdoor to indefinite detention for families, because just this afternoon, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi was asked if Democrats would support the GOP bill, and here's what she said.
It's cloaked in some very bad provisions that hurt families as well. So, no.
So is it likely to pass?
It's not likely to pass at the moment. Democrats oppose it in part because they view the change to Flores as weakening the rights of children. They prefer that they not be, held in the same criminal centers as parents and instead put through the civil system as they're pursuing and seeking their asylum claims. But there are many other reasons why Democrats won't support it. This bill has major cuts to legal immigration. It eliminates the diversity lottery. It cuts it eliminates some certain family sponsorship categories like siblings and adult children of U.S. citizens. It also has funding for President Trump's border wall, which many Democrats oppose. So this is a comprehensive solution that conservatives have been pushing for a while, that President Trump wants to see. That as far as last I checked, just a couple of hours ago, from one senior member of the House Republican whip counting team, they do not have the votes for.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing that the Associated Press right now just tweeted out that breaking President Trump signs executive order to keep families together. The border says zero tolerance policy will continue. So the news is happening right now. Sahil Kapoor, I'm going to let you go so you can do your reporting. National politics reporter for Bloomberg News. Sahil, thank you so very much.
Thank you much.
All right. So we're going to try and find the text of that executive order as soon as we can, hopefully before the end of the hour. But right now, let's turn now from Washington to the Massachusetts State House, where protesters gathered today in a, quote, keep families together rally.
Hey, go home! Donald Trump has got to go!
WBUR immigration reporter Shannon Dooling is at the State House. Hi there, Shannon.
Hi, Meghna.
So tell us a little bit about the scene. How many people were rallying in front of the State House?
There were this had to be one of the largest crowds I've ever seen in front of the State House. There were hundreds of people. They were all holding signs. Some of them were saying, put Jeff Sessions in a cage. That, of course, is referencing some of the images that we've been seeing out of the detention centers along the border for the small children that are being housed there. Other people were holding signs that said abolish ICE. It was a very very rowdy crowd, and just so many people trying to squeeze into forefront of the State House and be heard and be seen.
So a great deal of passion and emotion. I'm hearing you say that the protesters had, but were they making specific demands of lawmakers?
Well, for starters, they were definitely calling on an end to the family separation policy. We heard lots of chants about that, an end to Donald Trump's zero tolerance policy. And then on a more local level, they were calling on Governor Baker to throw his support behind a Senate budget amendment that has incorporated some language that would protect immigrants in Massachusetts. But Governor Baker has come out saying that he would veto that amendment if it goes before him. Here's Edwin Johnson. He's one of the protesters I spoke with. He's a pastor at St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Dorchester.
Making sure to work with our congresspersons and our senators to levy a challenge to all that the president is putting out there about the fact that there's nothing we can do about this, and figure out a way to put together a bill that will actually fix this and will bring our families back together.
Now, Shannon, that Senate budget amendment you were talking about, this is the one that the Senate adopted that would restrict cooperation between local police and federal immigration authorities, right?
Among other things, okay. Yeah. So it would also prevent law enforcement from actually asking people about immigration status. It sort of was adopted as a workaround when the Safe Communities Act, that was a bit more comprehensive and actually called on making the state a sanctuary state. The Safe Communities Act got stuck in the House, and so there's been no movement on that since April. And so Senator Jamie Eldridge proposed this budget amendment and decided to try to work in some protections via that channel.
I see. But as you said, Governor Baker has said that if the budget amendment makes it all the way to his desk, he would veto it.
That's right. And we actually got a statement from Governor Baker's office saying that, this has sort of been the line that Governor Baker has towed for a while now, that he does not approve of Massachusetts becoming a sanctuary state. He's supportive of localities and cities establishing sanctuary jurisdictions if they want to, but he doesn't see Massachusetts becoming a sanctuary state. And this amendment, he says, doesn't really address serious issues around state and local law enforcement being able to cooperate with federal immigration officials when it comes to detaining violent, dangerous criminals. So that's something that the governor has really sort of put his foot down on and won't budge on.
I see. And finally, is the rally still going on? Where is the crowd inside the State House?
So it's finally dispersed. And I say that because I wasn't sure whether people were going to leave or have a camp out tonight in front of the executive office, because people were sitting down. They were chanting, "We'll be back." They were chanting, "Vote him out," referring to Governor Baker if he does not throw his support behind the Senate amendments. It was a really fired up crowd. It was very, very passionate. And like I said, lots and lots of people winding their way up the grand staircase into the State House to really let their voices be heard.
Interesting. So just to recap for folks, Governor Baker saying he doesn't necessarily support the budget amendments regarding safe communities. I'm just using that as a paraphrase.
Exactly. Exactly.
But on the other hand, he has said that he abhors the administration's policy of family separation on the border. So this is so complex. Shannon Dooling, WBUR immigration reporter, joining us from the State House today. Shannon, thank you as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.